Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for spending this time with us. You know, time is a resource we all have the same amount of. So when you spend it listening to me, I am so honored, and I pray that God's words will speak through me to you and that your prayers will speak back to me. We've been going through this book called Seven Ways to Choose Healing by Stephen Arterburn. Just interviewed him the other day. And we have been looking at ourselves. Like, we've talked about how you have to connect your life to others. That's a sign of good mental health, is that you have meaningful relationships in your life. And then you have to have feelings. You sometimes hear people say, I just feel empty. Well, you don't want to feel that way. That's a sign that you are depressed. You want to feel your life with all of the joys and sorrows in it. And in order to do that, you need to investigate your life. We are talking about that process now. Investigate your life. You know, to thine own self be true. Are you there? Can you see areas of life that are a mystery to you? All of us, in one degree or another, hold mysteries inside us. Examining all parts of your life frees you to get healing for the parts that you become aware of that need it. That is the reason you stop once in a while and ask all of the why questions. And in fact, let's stop here and talk about God's verse. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Without investigation, there is little hope for healing. The Bible actually tells us to do this. And what are the ways that we can do it? There's four basic keys that I will talk about today. Look at your habits. Investigate your conflicts. And then investigate your character defects. And then look at the patterns in your relationships. These four areas are absolutely crucial. If you investigate your habits, you will quickly see the ones that are great habits and the ones that you need to change. If you look at the things that cause conflict in your life, you will quickly learn that the conflicts help you understand. Maybe some of the conflicts are caused by the habits that you do, the way you react to the person or to the issue. And then character defects. Character defects can sometimes appear quite honorable, like maybe you're a people pleaser, and that seems like a very honorable character defect, but it needs to be addressed. And then the patterns in your relationships. Probably all the habits, conflicts, and character defects all play into the pattern in your relationships. Investigating these areas of your life leads directly to the answers of why. And that is what this choice is about, getting the answers and discovering the truth about yourself. Well, we'll stop there today, but I'm hoping each one of us, including myself, will look at our habits, we'll look at our conflicts, we'll look at the way we deal with each other in those two things, and then look at our character defects. And I'm here to tell you that each one of us has character defects. And then we can look at the patterns in our relationships. And this really is so helpful in family relationships, particularly. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to turn and pray to you at any given point. We just praise you for that. We pray for this show that our words will be your words to us and our thoughts your thoughts. We pray for each listener and some of the challenges that they're going through. We also pray, Lord, for our nation, and we pray for a family that has a very sick child. Please send your healing hand upon that child. We thank you so much for hearing our prayers and for loving us. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! So today we're going to talk about cards, making cards. And this particular one that I connected to my Pinterest site is Christmas. But you could use this idea to make all kinds of cards. And you could embellish it all kinds of ways. And it's so personal. So you take your child's, you fold a piece of paper, plain white piece of paper in half. You take your child's hand and make sure that the little finger goes up against the seam of the card, and you trace around their hand, and then you cut it out. And the one I'm showing you decorates it with little snowman, but you could do the same thing and decorate it with little turkeys. You could decorate each finger with, little birthday candles if you wanted to make it for someone's birthday. And it's that I know as a grandparent, I would treasure a card like that from my child. So I just hope you have fun learning. Ways that you might connect it to learning is the number 5. I have worked this week with one of my fourth graders who just froze up every time I asked her how many fingers she had, and she had to count each one. She's a brilliant little girl, but for whatever reason, she didn't have memorize the idea that she had 5 fingers on each hand. So, you know, as you do that, you can connect it to 5, counting by 5s, skip counting, and the thing, you know, it has multiplication, addition, subtraction. It's just a fun thing that you can integrate math with. So, you know, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We have done so many things with our curriculum, and we understand that curriculum is the educational path that you're choosing for your child. It may include commercially developed curriculum products, books, workbooks. It may include online curriculum products that you can just run a page off here and there. It may include your own ideas of integrating everyday life into education. In fact, unschooling is just as important as schooling when it comes to your curriculum. And today I thought we'd just talk a little bit about the commercial items that you could purchase or that you could look at, and the idea of having your student develop their own worksheets. It's kind of like the idea of flipping a classroom where you flip it and the child has the material first and then you come together. And this works great if your children are well-disciplined and you tell them you need to do the worksheet, and then you need to make this worksheet up on multiplication problems and then bring it back to me and we'll have our discussion about it, and then you'll do it. It kind of changes things up a little bit, and sometimes that's just what a student needs to do instead of always being handed something that mom's generated or was generated by some other person. Have your own students generate their own curriculum products to go with your path. Well, that concludes our curriculum corner. Please stay tuned for our Questions Parents Ask. Questions Parents Ask. Well, here's a good question. What items do you buy your kids or have bought your kids that they played with the most? And looking back at it when they were really small, and these are non-technology items because, yes, we know they play a lot with technology. But looking back over my parenthood, it was those items like Little People, and then it became Littlest Pet Shops and Polly Pockets as they grew older, if they were girls, and if they were boys, it was Legos. Things that they could build and manipulate were really by all stretch of the imagination, the toys that they played with the most. And you could add to that maybe tinker toys or wooden blocks. You know, if you have some cars and you have some wooden blocks, you can make some really cool ramps. You can make mazes. You can incorporate your toys as part of your learning day, that they just have free time to play only with certain toys. There's just so much you can do with toys, and it helps you also have a little bit of time where you're not just hovering over them, but you're letting their imagination expand and grow. And I have another question here. This family, their 18-year-old daughter left home. And it's one of those things, how do you handle that emerging adult? And maybe we'll just have to save that for the next show, because that is a very crucial question. So I'll tackle that tomorrow.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How do you know you're doing the right thing?
There's a text in God's Treasure Chest that used to make me nervous. Listen, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Excuse me? You mean I can go through life thinking I'm doing the right thing when I'm really not? Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, wasn't exactly Mr. Sinless. He lived his life the way he saw fit, disregarding God most of the time. He firmly believed that he was doing the right thing, but it was his thing, not God's. Later in life, he wrote, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless." Ecclesiastes 2:10 and 11 NIV. Poor King Solomon. He hadn't learned the lesson you can learn right now. Doing the right thing begins by discovering what God considers to be the right thing. That's why he handed down the Ten Commandments and detailed instructions for living a satisfying life. Solomon thought he knew better than God. He didn't. Now you know better than Solomon. If you'd like to learn more about God and his amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dennis Warden, and he is the author of The Rancher's Gift, a modern-day parable of living a life on purpose. And I'm going to go through your bio.
Right.
Sorry, Dennis, you'll just have to bear with me. So during his 24 years in commercial Christian radio, Dennis served as general manager of three major market stations. I mean, this could be a little intimidating to me, you know. KKIM Albuquerque, KCFO AM-FM Tulsa, and KKLA Los Angeles, before becoming vice president of national programming for Salem Communications. Dennis is one of the only two individuals to have been named twice Broadcast Station Manager of the Year by the National Religious Broadcasters. In 1996, Dennis joined the John Maxwell and the Enjoy Group as director of marketing, and then was asked to become the international director of partners in prayer, fulfilling a lifetime goal of John Maxwell to raise up over 1 million prayer partners for pastors. In January 2001, Dennis was named president of the Duncan Group, the most respected sales training company in the mortgage banking industry. In 2004, the Duncan Group purchased Enjoy and Maximum Impact from John C. Maxwell. As one of the three owners of the Maximum Impact Group, and the three were Enjoy, Maximum Impact, the Duncan Group, Dennis sold his interest in April of 2006 to launch Warden Associates and the Ignite Advisory Group. Awesome. Is there anything I left out?
Happily married for 48 years.
Now that is a big achievement.
And 10 grandkids.
Now that that is a bigger achievement.
That's the exciting. That's the cherry on the cake.
It really is. I have 10 grandchildren too. They are all perfect. I'm sure just as yours are.
Absolutely.
And I'm a perfect. I would, if I could have been a grandparent first, I would have been a much better parent. I would have
so true.
Had it figured out. So what prompted you in your spare time to write this book, The Rancher's Gift, A Modern Day Parable of Living a Life on Purpose?
You know, that is a great question, and I appreciate you leading with that one, because it was probably the highest compliment that my son-in-laws have ever paid me. Having worked for years in Christian broadcasting, having worked for New York Times best-selling authors, my son-in-laws came to me and said, Dennis, you've lived before us a life of living a life on purpose. And why don't you write a book to help not only your grandkids, but other adults and children to learn what it means to live a life on purpose? So really it was my son-in-laws kind of, you know, spurring me on and saying, you know, Dennis, why don't you do this?
That is a great testament. I think any in-laws that would say that would really have seen a life lived on purpose. So why did you choose the rancher metaphor?
You know, I could have chosen any.
You could have.
Having grown up in northern Minnesota, born in Wisconsin, grew up in northern Minnesota, a long way from a ranch. However, my first radio station that I worked at was in Billings, Montana.
Wow.
And
fell in love
with the Big Sky country. And so the Big Sky is a lot of what we talk about in the book. It all takes place on a ranch in western Montana. From Montana, Gail and I moved our family to Albuquerque, New Mexico, from Albuquerque to Oklahoma. So we spent about the first 20 years of our life, you know, living in cowboy country. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And thought, you know, if there was any persona that really fit me, you know, I always say, you know, so I'm a Louis L'Amour reader. And I always say, you know, Lord, if you could just, you know, in eternity, if I could just spend time, just let my kingdom, let I get to have a little, you know, be a ranch or maybe someplace in Montana, you know, or something. So I love it. And it really fit perfect with the story that we wove in writing The Rancher's Gift.
Now, have your son-in-laws had a chance to read the book?
They've been along the route with me all the way. As we've written chapter by chapter, I've gotten not only good feedback from my son-in-laws, but more importantly, my daughters. Mm. We have three daughters, so I have three son-in-laws. You know, so you can live it in front of your son-in-laws, but your daughters know you even better, and your wife even knows you better.
That's right.
So it's been a family affair.
What do you suppose keeps people from living life on purpose?
You know, I think one of the big things is that, number one, taking the time to really discover it, and there's a fear of what that might mean, and then the whole aspect of being quiet and asking God, because most of us have our own plans, right? You know, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a doctor. Instead of just stopping and saying, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? How do you want me to live for you? How do you want me to serve you? And how can I live my life on purpose so that I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? And how can I bring glory to you through my life?
Now, your main character is Ryan.
Right.
And at first, he's not too happy.
No.
Maybe you can, I like to leave little cliffhangers.
Yeah, you got to.
I want people to read the book. But maybe you can describe why he's unhappy.
Well, Ryan, after college, he went to Wharton School of Business, the most prestigious, you know, business school in the country. Why? Because he was going to come back and take his dad's company over. He was going to get the corner office, right? And when he graduates and comes back, his dad takes him to dinner and says, "Son, I've done a poor job of raising you as a son. I wasn't there in your Little League games. I wasn't there, you know, through all these various times in your life. And mainly, Ryan, I didn't teach you character qualities that would allow you to live a life on purpose. And for that reason, I'm going to send you to your uncle's ranch in Montana, where you can spend a summer working with him and allow him to teach you how to live a life on purpose. And then you'll be ready to come back into the company." So he wasn't really too excited about this whole idea.
I mean, that still sounds almost like the father abdicating again and giving responsibility to somebody else.
And at the close of the book, you'll find out that not only does the father understand that, but the father comes into embracing what his son learned while he was on the ranch.
And that is such a great metaphor of reality, because so much of our parenting happens from our children to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you think back to when your children were young and the differences that you have now with your grandchildren that you wish you had done with your children?
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, you know, if we could only have been grandparents first, probably the first one would be patience, right?
Yes.
So, there are other things as we mature in our walk with Christ and we begin to understand His Word, you know, to grow.
Like you said God's purpose. A parent will often have their purpose and they start trying to mold that child at a very young age for their purpose, not recognizing that God has a separate, unique purpose. And they really need to pray that their purpose can be one with God's purpose for that child.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a very tricky thing.
It is.
But if God gives you a child, He's giving you a real gift and a real responsibility.
For life.
My mom's last words to me before she passed away, she said, "Rose, I'm so proud of you." And I said, "Oh, Mom, you were such a good mom." And she goes, I said, "Mom, you were such a good parent." And she goes, "No, I wasn't, Rose. You were the good parent." Mm-hmm. And that, you know, because the last words you tend to mull over them, you know. And I'm going, how was I the parent? But then in reflecting, I'm going, well, even my children have really taught me lessons about God that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Absolutely.
Okay, back on tap. We're talking with Dennis Wharton on his book, The Rancher's Gift. And this is just a great parable.
We're going to continue with the second part of our interview tomorrow.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.